is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thank you for being here on the program today. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. But on this first segment, we're going to spend some time spotlighting the Douglas County Tiger Team. Dr. Bob, first of all, tell us a little bit about Mike Hansen, who we're going to be talking with.
Well, Mike's quite the amazing fellow. Tiger Team is a hand-picked group of specialists with a very specific goal in mind. We had a very specific goal of vaccinating people in the most difficult-to-reach places in Douglas County, and I handpicked Mike as the person most able to pull this all together, and I think I was proven right.
So, Mike, tell us a little bit about your background.
I spent 45 years in emergency services, fire and EMS, retired from that, and it was kind of interesting as when this pandemic started, I was retired, and so I'm sitting on a couch, which is not something I'm used to doing, and then was asked to help out doing case investigations for those who tested positive with COVID-19, and then from there, this team was formed, and here I am.
So was your background in fire and EMS, was that locally here?
Yeah, I spent most of my career here. Actually working for Douglas County Fire District 2.
And how did you get into that career area to begin with? I'm always curious about that. Because, I mean, 45 years is a long time.
I actually started when I was 15. I can't do that anymore. I started in Central Point, worked there for 11 years. Medford, City of Medford for 6. And then I was up at Douglas County Fire District 2, I think, for 20.
Wow. So talk about the Tiger Team. How many people are involved? I mean, how many people are on this team?
Well, we have 6 that are on the team, and they're with Douglas Public Health Network. And then we have a rotating vaccinator through our partnership with Umpqua Valley Ambulance Association. So they're the ones that actually do the vaccination. The Tiger Team, we set up all of the events, make sure that everything's there, all the paperwork's taken care of.
And for these clinics that you're doing, are you sticking with one specific of the vaccine, or does it vary?
It varies. Up until this point, we've been carrying the Johnson & Johnson and the Moderna, but now we've been using the Pfizer, or Douglas Public Health Network was using the Pfizer for their MaxVax clinics, which were on Saturdays. And I believe this last Saturday was their last clinic that they were going to do. So there may be an opportunity for us to be using Pfizer as well out in the field.
Now, in fact, you are out in the field right now in between things. Talk about where you were earlier and what you're doing this afternoon.
Yeah, we were at the Dream Center this morning from 10 to 12. And now we're transitioning from there. And we'll be at the HIV Alliance this afternoon. From 1 to 4. And we're actually going to split our team. Part of us will be providing vaccines or vaccinations there. And 2 of us will be out delivering water to the homeless.
So what is the response from people in these rural areas when they realize that they could be vaccinated close to home?
Majority of them are very excited to see us in their community, because we are reaching out to those areas that normally don't see a lot of activity from the core coming out to them to help provide services. And so we've been received very well, I would say, from the majority of the people. Even the people that have already been vaccinated have stopped and thanked us for being in their community.
And are some of these people that you're reaching people who would have had a transportation issue with getting to Roseburg, for example?
Absolutely. Well, you have that, and then you have some that just don't want to come to the core for whatever reasons, and they would have never gotten vaccinated other than it's on their doorstep.
So how long will the Tiger team be continuing?
Hopefully for not very long, but we'll continue to do this until the need's not there any longer.
And I know that the schedule kind of varies each week with where you go and what parts of the county. How are the locations selected?
As Dr. Danhofer mentioned, we had a goal of being reaching the whole county where somebody only needed to drive 5 miles to get a vaccine. And so that was kind of the first focus of where we selected locations. But we've been out to all of those areas 3 times now. And so we're kind of scaling back from those and are now that the community is starting to get out and about. We're looking at being more venue driven, such as Music on the Half Shell, Music in the Park. We were at the Chainsaw Festival in Reedsport. We plan on being at the Summer Festival in Myrtle Creek, Show and Shine out at River Forks.
So a lot of different places as these events are starting to happen again. Are there any logistical challenges with trying to have a pop-up vaccination clinic when you're kind of off to the side of another big event that's going on?
Actually, we're looking forward to that. Because up to this point, we had to generate our own advertising and energy to come to us for that community to know we're there. When going to these events, whoever's putting on the event is generating the energy of getting people to their event. So hopefully they're going to go have a great time and they're going to say, oh, I might as well get vaccinated because it's right here. It doesn't get any easier than this.
So when you go out to these rural locations, are you using special vehicles or how does that work?
Yeah, we have 2 vans at Douglas County. The commissioners have purchased for us to use for this venture.
And going out to do these clinics, what's been the most maybe gratifying thing for you so far?
Well, just seeing the people that would have never gotten vaccinated if we were not there. And you can truly see how appreciative they are and kind of relieved that they finally were able to get vaccinated and they weren't sure how they were going to do it. We actually were in Days Creek doing a pop-up there, and a guy drove by on a motorcycle, slowed down, came back, and he had just moved up from Santa Barbara and happened to have a Moderna, and he didn't know where he was going to get his second shot. And it was time. So it worked out pretty good for him.
And I suppose there's the potential for that to happen in other situations as well, with some folks out doing vacations right now, and then you get in the middle of a trip and realize that you should have been back home getting a shot.
We've had that, or we've had people that are traveling through, and because they know they're not going to be able to get their second shot from us, or not sure where they were going to get it when they get back home, they choose to get the Johnson & Johnson.
And if people want to get a particular location on a list, maybe their community or a farm or some place where it would work to do that, how do they get connected with you?
They can just call the hotline, and they can reach out to us, and then we can get back in touch with them.
All right, Mike Hansen from the Douglas County Tiger Team. Mike, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More on COVID-19 with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. When we come back, the interview, a podcast at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson at 1. On tomorrow's program, Thomas McGregor, Executive Director of Phoenix Charter School will join us. Today, a look at COVID-19. We spent our first segment with Mike Hansen of the Douglas County Tiger Team, along with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Before we roll into other topics, Dr. Bob, I wanted to ask how you feel like the work of the Tiger Team has gone. How effective has that approach been?
Well, the Tiger Team has been just amazing. And I got a chance to pick the people on the Tiger Team, and all of them have just shined. It's just been great. So Douglas County's Tiger Team has done about as many events as the state's Tiger Team, which is covering the whole state. So this team has just done great. They've got exactly the right people and exactly the right attitude. What a great thing.
Let's talk about Saturday's mass vaccination event. How did that go at the Douglas County Fairgrounds?
It went very well. We had a lot of vaccine. It was pretty hot. And we got through everybody through quickly. The numbers really are slowing down, though. So the number of new people getting vaccines was really quite down.
Let's talk about the county cases. I see a few minutes ago the report came out from Douglas Public Health and the COVID-19 response team. Talk about the cases of the past few days. What kind of numbers are we seeing?
So the numbers are lower. So we're under 10 new cases per 100,000 per day, which is a nice place to be. We're still seeing cases mostly among young people, almost entirely among unvaccinated people. And unfortunately, we're seeing a high level of hospitalization. So we've had over 14 people in the hospital this entire weekend, and most of those people tend to be younger. So although the number of cases down, the number of hospitalizations remains high.
What about the state numbers? Are we seeing a continued drop there, or are there places that are hotspots still in the state?
So in the state overall, things are quiet. They're down to about 5 cases per 100,000 per day. There are no real hotspots in the state. Curry has had a few more cases than usual, but for the most part, the state has quieted down.
So nationally, what are we seeing with COVID-19 in terms of case numbers?
So in the U.S., pretty much of the U.S. is pretty quiet. We're seeing a little bit of an increase in Missouri, a little bit in Texas, but for the most part, the country has been pretty quiet. And that's a good thing because it gives us a chance to open things up, but a little dangerous because lurking out there is this Delta variant.
And as we look at the world picture for COVID-19, heard about one of the countries imposing travel restrictions again and some things like that. What's happening with the world picture?
Well, the world picture is very mixed. The U.S., Canada are doing very well with low cases of disease, but there are 5 areas I think we need to pay attention to. One is South America. South America is just an absolute mess. They've had a lot of cases for a long period of time, and now that's starting to spread to Central America. Second place I worry about is Africa. Remember, Africa has had very little disease, and they have a really poor healthcare system, and they're beginning to see a lot of disease, especially in Namibia. Third place I worry about is Australia. You remember, Australia has done an excellent job with public health measures. Even they now are dealing with a little outbreak in Sydney from the Delta variant. We worry about Mongolia, a country that has had a very high vaccination rate using the Chinese and Russian vaccines. And despite that, they're having a lot of disease related to 617. And then lastly, the UK is a worry. So the UK is a worry because every time they've had a spike, a few weeks later, we have a spike. And now they're clearly having a spike. So they got down to about 2 or 3 cases per 100,000. They're now up to 22 cases per 100,000, all due to the Delta variant. So almost all of their cases now are the Delta variant. And despite the fact that they're highly vaccinated, over 80%, and they're still been locked down, they're continuing to have this rise. So those are the worrisome parts of the world. Again, right now, the U.S. and Canada are pretty quiet, but we know in the past when we've been quiet, and other places have been noisy, it doesn't take long for it to spread.
So for these variants, are they still resistant? Folks that are vaccinated, are they still at lower risk for the variant?
Yes. So the vaccine does work against all of the known variants that are out there, which is good, but it doesn't work as well against the variants as it did against the ancestral strains. So against the ancestral strains, it was well over 95% effective. Against the variants, about 80% effective after 2 doses, and only a third preventive after 1 dose. So that tells us more and more people need to get vaccinated. And especially if you've gotten the Moderna vaccine or the Pfizer vaccine, you need to get your second dose.
And what about both of those? You bring up an interesting point there. I am aware of some people who have gotten one of those and haven't gone back for their second shot. If you wait too long, where are you at?
So we don't think there's a too long to wait. So at least at 6 months, you still get good boost from the second. The important thing is that you get the second, because what the second one does is relies on the bit of immunity that you develop with the first one to go ahead and make a very strong second immune response.
Now, on Wednesday, or possibly sooner, the governor's COVID-19 executive orders end for the most part. Talk about some of the changes that'll bring.
So the changes basically get rid of all of the executive orders. So masking, distancing, capacity limits all go away on Wednesday. Probably not sooner, but probably go away on Wednesday. And so that's a good thing for businesses and good for what we do. From public health standpoint, a little scary, because we know as people get out more and gather more that they have increased risk of disease. So what we're asking is that people get vaccinated. If you are going to be in a big group, to maintain distancing. But after Wednesday, all of those restrictions go away.
So what's your level of concern with, really overnight, it seems like so many different events, especially outdoors, resuming?
Well, I think the outdoor events are very, very safe. And I have no problems with the Chainsaw Festival, with music on the half shell. We really see very, very little transmission outdoors. What we do worry about is that come the fall and the weather gets worse, people move indoors, that we might see an increase in cases. But I think for the summertime, I think we're going to be good. We're encouraging people to get out, stay cool, and enjoy Douglas County.
Let's talk a little bit more about the variants. You touched on it a bit ago. And does it sound, or it sounds like one is particularly dominant in many places right now?
Right. So in much of the world, the Delta variant, which used to be called the 617 that first started in India, is the dominant variant. In South America, it's the P1, which was the Brazilian variant, also called Gamma. So Gamma and Delta seem to be the predominant variants in much of the world. Now, in the U.S., we still have a mixture with some of the Alpha, which is the B117, some of the Gamma, some of the Delta. So we've got sort of a mix of disease. We've not seen the big spike in 617 that they've seen in Europe and in India. But as we know with these variants, it is only a matter of time.
Let me back up a minute. We talked about the governor's executive orders ending on Wednesday, all of that. Will that change anything in the approach of Douglas Public Health or the COVID-19 response team?
Not at all. I mean, we're going to continue to help people who are in quarantine. We're going to continue to push vaccinations and make testing widely available.
And what about new things being learned about the virus in recent days?
So with this virus, there's all new things. A couple of good things. One is that a lot of people were worried about their loss of sense of smell and taste. The good news is that we follow people for longer and longer. They seem to be getting that back. So that is a really good thing. The other new thing that we've learned is that after the second dose, so the Pfizer or the Moderna, a small number of people, usually young boys, will have some chest pain that gets diagnosed as myocarditis later on. So that's a worry, but the myocarditis seems to be mild. It seems to be much less severe than the myocarditis you get from the disease, and tends to go away with just over-the-counter medicines. So that's really the good news.
So as we're into this phase of the pandemic, where do you see things going from here?
So the future is very hard to predict. I hope that what we see is a continuing low number of cases, and that we continue low and continue to be able to open up businesses over the summertime, schools in the fall. However, I think we cannot be blind to the spreading variants, because I think the variants really could make a big difference.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again today.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.